You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Yes, 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 yes. It is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN at 800-919-3776, 800-919-ESPN. The Yankees are monumentally screwed. And I don't mean to speak out of turn and maybe take it a little bit further than we need to here, but I have to tell you, this is not looking good, despite having the thought that you're going to get Aaron Judge back soon. I want you involved in the show at 800-919-3776 and also on Twitter at Chris Carlin. That's at C-H-R-I-S-C-A-R-L-I-N. Here's the point. The Yankees are monumentally screwed from the championship point of view. Now, look. When it comes to all the kinds of injuries that they've had and what they have been through over the last couple of years, it has been nothing short of remarkable what they have been able to accomplish. But how often can you continue to count on that to kind of happen? All right, you got good news today in that Aaron Judge is going to be back whenever they play their next game. The weekend has been wiped out thanks to the COVID of the Mets. So maybe they play the Mets in a doubleheader on Monday. Maybe they're playing on Tuesday against the Braves. Who knows? Aaron Judge is supposed to be back in the lineup. Let's hope that's the case. Gleyber Torres has gone to the injured list. They say no big deal. He's still on the injured list, and he has a hamstring problem. Zach Britton is on the injured list. James Paxton has a flexor strain grade 1. But there's still the possibility, as he goes on the injured list, even though there's no tear and no Tommy John and no none of that, that he may not pitch again for the Yankees. That's absolutely possible. Giancarlo Stanton, we have absolutely no clue when he's going to return. DJ LeMahieu sounds like he's improving, but this was supposed to be a 2 to 3 week thing to begin with. Luis Avilon, okay, just another reliever on the DL, but the point is, it just, you're adding to that list that is getting longer and longer. But something that we talked about quite a bit yesterday, and I absolutely think is paramount and should not be overlooked, is that when you consider what they went through in 2019, and how they were able to find their way through, there were really two guys who were there to help carry the day. It was Gleyber Torres and DJ LeMahieu. And in my estimation, LeMahieu was really the guy that made sure the Yankees were going to stay afloat with just playing his lights out as he did. He was amazing. Torres, 38 home runs, fantastic as well. These two guys are on the other side of it right now. They are the ones that are on the IL in addition to the usual suspects. That's what we're just going to call Judge and Stanton now when it comes to the injured list. I mean, Judge and Stanton, I mean, Stanton is the Kaiser Soze of the injured list right now. And Judge is not far behind. I think that when you look at what you saw this past week, it gave you a very big glimpse into what the Yankees have to contend with right now. And that glimpse was not a pretty one. You saw them get their tails kicked by the Rays, who look like the typical Rays team. They look like the team that you look at on paper and don't think very much of, yet they go out there and they do everything exceptionally well. They make pitchers work. They situationally hit well. It's not small ball. It's not bunt 'em over. It's not anything like that. They get on base. They make you work, and they make you pay for your mistakes. And you don't look at that team and think about a team full of all-stars. You think about a team full of upstarts. You think about a team of players that might have bright futures in front of them, but that's what you're thinking about. You're thinking about the future. You're never thinking about the now with the Rays when maybe you should be. Whereas with the Yankees, all you're thinking about is the now because they haven't been able to get it done in the now. And right now, they're not getting it done. Just think about this for a second. And normally, I would find this to be an absurd comment to make. But when you look at the season, being only 60 games, you can say it. If the season ended today, after just 25 games, the Yankees would either be the 4 or the 5 seed. You know who they're playing? The Cleveland Indians. You want any part of that in a 2 out of 3 series? Absolutely not. Bieber, Clevinger, maybe Plesac? Yeah. Early vacation. I think the Yankees right now, if you want to point to depth and have that as your hope, well, depth is at its best when it's covering for maybe 2 or 3 guys. Not when it's covering for 6 or 7. That's not depth. That's having all-stars and all-stars who are backups at every position. Nobody has that, not even the Yankees. So this depth that you want to believe in, that you've seen get it done before, don't forget what was part of those B-teamers who carried the day in the past. What was part of them were a couple of A-teamers who are superstar players, but don't get the recognition as such. LeMahieu, as a player, should be a superstar. I mean, he's not a guy that is going to ever attract a whole lot of attention, but his level of play is at the superstar level. The level of play of Gleyber Torres when things are going right, like he had last year, is at the superstar level. Did anybody think that Gleyber Torres wasn't going to be able to come back after a slump at the beginning of the year and still have a pretty good season? I didn't think he was going into a Gary Sanchez-like slump. It's amazing that you think about the Yankees and a word that you never talk about, a word that's never in the lexicon, is overmatched. This is a week where the Yankees were overmatched. Right now, and I'm saying even with Judge back, right now, why would I believe for a second that they're doing anything? Why would I believe for a second that they're getting out of the first round? Why? Give me a solid reason, and I will try to believe you, but I don't believe that's the case. Aaron Boone has got his hands full. And I thought Michael made a fantastic point today. He's able to help them with the mentality of it last year because he still had those other guys who were available to him in Torres and LeMahieu, and he knew what kind of players they were and how they were going to be able to help keep it afloat. Can you sell that same snake oil again this year? I think it's very difficult to do. I wouldn't buy it. If I'm in that clubhouse right now, I wouldn't buy it. Tell me when the other guys are coming back. Tell me that they're going to be fine for the postseason. Nobody can do that. Outside of Judge right now, honestly, nobody can tell you when anybody's coming back. They can give you the vagaries of, well, it's better news than we thought and all that. What does that really mean? I give Boone so much credit for the job he has done here. But even in this case, I don't think he can save this. I think he's been a fantastic manager in the way you have to handle things these days. I don't even think that he can navigate this one. They're going to make the playoffs. They're not going anywhere. This team right now is dead in the water. Dead in the water. 800-919-3776. There's an awful lot for you to react to with that. I mean, think about that for a second. Right now, you have your top four guys in the lineup from a season ago out. Please, please, I'm begging you to explain to me how right now you shouldn't feel that way when there is all of this, just frankly, uncertainty regarding their situation. This is a mess. Look at it for what it is. This is a mess. Their bullpen can help. I don't know if it's enough. They were completely overmatched this week, and frankly, the week ago, they played okay in Tampa. They still lost 3 out of 4, and that's when they had everybody. Everybody.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Let us hit the calls and let us begin with Marvin in the Bronx. What's up, Marvin?
Look, you know it's Friday, and I can talk to you without my bosses horning in, all right? And I got my wife here. She's a Mets fan. She's laughing at me. She's got a lot of nerve. But check this out, all right? I'm going to make a military comparison. You sound like the chief of naval operations the day after Pearl Harbor. We know how that turned out. Now, I've been a Yankee fan since 1964, and I've seen the good, the bad, and the ugly, all right? I don't care what the people down in Tampa are feeling and how cocky they are. They will not beat us in the playoffs. And I and look, Marvin, this guy, guys, no, no, look, let me finish, Chris. I mean, you went off on your tirade and you gave your little prediction, your doomsday prediction about us. But when it's said and done, if they don't win the championship, I will buy you a dinner at Ruth's Chris Steakhouse.
And I'll take it. You know I'll take it.
That's right. Just
but
show up.
Give me the reason why it will happen.
I can't really explain. I've been a Yankee fan so long. I get these visceral feelings that this thing is going to turn out all right. Everybody's writing us off. Everybody's, oh, the Yankees. First of all, I believe in Cashman. All right, I'm not name dropping. Rainey Levine's personal friend of mine since we were kids. I believe in the organization,
season,
and I'm telling you, Chris. I'm telling you, you will live to eat those words.
Look, it won't be the first time, but I'm telling you that
if they don't win the World Series,
year.
I will buy you a steak dinner, Ruth Chris.
And I'm going to take you up on it, Marvin. But here's the problem, okay? You can't, outside of Judge, assuming he comes back, you can't point to anybody else and say, that guy's back here, that guy's back there. And the way it just went down, of these 7 games that you have played this team that you knew was going to be a nuisance.
In 1999, we lost 16 out of 18 games the last month and won the World Series.
I get that. That's 10 years ago. 20 years ago.
20 years ago, all right?
20 years ago!
Okay, but I'm telling you, but see, you can't.
Marvin, it's
folks,
a different
keep
season,
in mind,
too. You don't know who you're
going
to be able to get when it comes to Cashman and the trade deadline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You don't know
keep
who's
in mind,
going to be
Chris, we know you're a notorious Mets fan.
I'm not a Met fan.
Oh, all right, that's right.
I'm not on the Mets.
Okay. I'm telling you, you will not eat that dinner.
This is about
you will not eat that dinner, Chris, because if they don't win it, I will treat you to a dinner, and you can eat what you want to eat.
Oh, Marvin, I'm gonna. Thanks for the call. We have it on tape. You think I don't know the Ruth's Chris menu by heart? You don't think I've got that sucker locked up right in the old noggin? Of course I do. 800-919-3776. Open lines. Good time to get through. Rob in Manhattan. Next, 98.7 ESPN. Rob.
Yeah, I love the passion, but now is not the time for Yankees fans to panic. This was a bad series for the Yankees, no doubt. But they have a break.
So was
they
last
got
week.
Judge coming back. And I
understand.
And
the Yankees, listen, the point is not that the Yankees are not going to beat up on bad teams. I mean, they've got plenty coming with the Orioles in a few weeks. My point is that this is not about a 60-game regular season. As constructed right now and as constituted at the moment, this is not a get-past-the-first-round team.
But they're
if
not
you had to play the Indians right now, you're dead in the water.
But they're not going to be constructed like this when it comes time to get to the playoffs. Judge will be back. They'll have hitters. They'll find a pitcher if they need one. That's Cashman has always come through. And so
you're right, but I would not Cashman has come through, but I would not count on the idea that you're definitively going to go get a pitcher in a 60-game season when you're going to have to give up a ton to get him. I mean, it's going to be a seller's market.
The Yankees have spare parts of solid major league starting quality players on their bench, and that's the sort of thing that you can give up to get a pitcher.
Mike Tauchman is not going to get you a pitcher that's going to make a difference. Mike Tauchman's a nice player to have off the bench. That's not a guy that's going to make that happen. Clint Frazier, it might, plus another big prospect, might go get you the kind of pitcher you're talking about, but it is going to be a seller's market this year.
But for a one-year rental on a pitcher, they can give up those guys. Last year, I didn't want to see them mortgaging the future in order to chase Houston. So this year I could see them doing that.
They're going to have to. That's number one. And number two, I think that they're in a position right now where, Rob, if you count on them being able to go get that guy this season in this strange scenario, you have to remember that teams are very uncertain where the future's headed, not just with COVID, but with the end of next year being the end of the collective bargaining agreement. These two sides hate each other right now, and they don't know if there's going to be a strike in a year and a half. They don't know anything. So giving away players for nothing is not going to be on anybody's minds. Teams that have the commodities in the trade market are going to make you pay for them. And you can say, the Yankees can do that. Okay. But, Brian has not been in the mentality of overpaying in the last few years.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Rob. Sonny Gray was a debacle. We all remember that. And I don't think he's in a hurry to do that again. Now, the one thing I will say, from the propaganda machine itself, there is nobody in baseball who is better at pumping up their own prospects than the Yankees. Nobody. Do you think it's any coincidence that every time they're asked about Clint Frazier now, oh, how mature he is. Oh, how brilliantly he's handled himself. Oh, he could be a starter on any major league team right now. Do you think that's any coincidence? No, that is just trying to get his value back to where it was before he was acting like a knucklehead last year. They're trying to prove that he has matured. I think he has, to his credit, but they want the world to know that, so that when people are asking about making a deal, maybe they'll value him a little bit more than they would have before. John in Connecticut is next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, John.
Hey, I love the show, man. I just want to let you know, so I work with Bobby V, and I asked him yesterday, I said, hey, Bobby, the Mets, it looks like it's another dumpster fire year for us. And he said to me, no, they're hot, they're rolling, they're going to win the East. Mark my words, they're going to win the East. So I'm going to hold him to it, but then obviously then hours COVID later hit. We hear about the COVID stuff. Yeah, the COVID stuff. And COVID happened.
Bobby's the eternal optimist in some ways, and I love Bobby. I got to work with him at SNY a little bit, and he's the best. I love him.
He's an awesome dude, man. But he's an optimist, for sure.
And he'll tell you what he thinks, but look, the Mets were heating up, and I feel for them going through this situation right now because they were starting to put it together a little bit. And I've got some thoughts on where they're headed right now and what the thought process for Brody Van Wagenen has to be. And it's not what everybody thinks it's going to be.
So what are your thoughts? What are you thinking?
I'm thinking you're going to have to sit around and wait to listen to find out.
All right, man. Hey, that's an awesome week.
No, that's coming up in just a couple of minutes. I appreciate it. Hang in with us. I'll get to that in just a couple of minutes. 800-919-3776. Just to finish on the Yankees thought for the moment, it's not about trying to be alarmist. It's not about, the Yankee season is over. Oh, my God. No, it's having genuine, just completely level-headed concern about their situation at the moment. And I don't know how you could look at this objectively and not think they have big problems right now. I don't know how you could. I honestly don't see, even with Judge, based on what I saw in Tampa a week and a half ago, and I know it's one series, but still, even with Judge, Yankees aren't better than the Rays. They're not. The Rays are a classic example of the sum is better than the parts, or whatever it is. Sum is greater than the parts. I never get that saying right. 800-919-3776. Mets coming up in just a moment as well. If you're thinking Brody's going to do one thing, he really should be doing the other. And it would help himself for the long term. We'll tell you what we mean next. Oh, and did I forget to tell you that later on tonight at 9 p.m., a little segment we like to call Beat the Fat Man will be returning. And if you know your television trivia, it would be a good idea to try to take the big fella down, who now sits at 28-11 on the season. 28-11. Are they numbers that I would write home about? No, I wouldn't say that. Frankly, like, who writes home anyway? Like, I am home, and I can't remember the last time I wrote a letter. But you know what I mean. Are they numbers to be overly excited by? I mean, I think a winning percentage better than 70% is Hall of Fame material, no? That is later in the show. Met thoughts, your calls, 800-919-3776. Also on Twitter, at Chris Carlin, at CHRASCARLIN.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Jerry in New Jersey is up first this hour on 98.7 ESPN. Jerome, how you doing?
Hey, Carlin, how you doing?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Hey, I just want to ask you, you got to drop some audio proof when you're coming in claiming that you wanted to trade Matt Harvey. In his prime, when he was looking right, you can't.
At the end
you gotta,
of 2015, you gotta I promise drop you, I would not. Audio I'm not the guy proof. That would claim that was just to claim it. I'm telling you, at the time, I was on SNY, I was doing loudmouths, and I promise you that after that whole scenario, after all of what we saw with him, you know, showing up late during the postseason to one of the workout days, to that debacle in Game 5 when he forced his way back in and Terry let him off the hook, I absolutely was of the mind that now is the time to get out.
Hey, look, I ain't going to question you because I've been listening to you since you got on ESPN. I love you. But you got to drop some audio proof when you're making a claim like that.
I wish I had it, man. You just
I wish you did, too, because I still don't buy it.
You don't buy it.
Still don't buy it.
See, that's wrong. That's wrong.
That ain't wrong.
Why would I go and just say that to make myself look better? You've been listening to me now for what, 8 months?
I don't know, but all I'm saying is, you're talking about, when he was right, you're talking about a $350 million pitcher nowadays, like Gerrit Cole type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to claim that after a really good season.
But remember after how all of it had gone. Remember,
I mean,
that
the ending was not right.
The ending was not right. Remember that he had gone through the whole innings limit thing that year, where it was almost like he was actually going to shut it down. There was that they went through the drama. There was constant drama around it, and the way that all unfolded. If you really want to think about it, okay. Here was my main premise when I was so angry that they let him go back out there. Matt Harvey made Game 5 of the World Series where the Mets are trying to stay alive about himself. That was not about what was best for the team. That was Mr. Tough Guy. I don't want to give up the ball and all that. And ultimately, he went back out there, and you could tell from when he was warming up that he was so super hyped up that this was going to be a mess. And my point after all of it, not just about that game, but about everything that had happened that year, and thanks for the call, was that you had gotten to the peak of what he was going to be, and you also knew more headaches were coming. Those headaches came, and it fizzled out. It's having the instinct to know the right time to get out. And yeah, would it have been a popular move? Of course not. But it's not like it would have been that outlandish. John in Freehold is next on 98.7 ESPN. Johnny, you're on with Carlin.
Chris, what's going on, brother? You got me. Listen, I was trying to take Friday easy, and you got my blood pressure through the roof, brother. Two things.
Go.
Number one, the Harvey Cole was not at all outrageous to see you making. Anybody with a tenth of a brain that watches baseball thought the same way you did. From the Sports Center centerfold, you remember how they do like the naked shoots with the muscles? Yeah. And how every single time, instead of backing up the skipper, he'd come out and say something outrageous like, well, I'm not a fan of the innings limit, but it's not in my control. Instead of just doing what the team wanted him to do, it was always against the grain. So when he peaked also, I said the same thing. The Mets are going to do exactly what they do.
The thing I'll say about it is this, okay? I'm not going to sit here and tell you that I was even remotely close to Matt. And I was around more because I was doing Mets pre and post game when he first came up. I had interviewed him a couple of times when he was still in the minor leagues. And I interviewed him around the All-Star game. And I got to tell you, like, in 2013... at the All-Star game, I was sitting there on loudmouths with Adam Schein, and we had Sandy Alderson on outside Citi Field, and I'm saying to him at the time, you thinking about trying to lock up a long-term deal now with Matt? And then it just all went south after that. There were always pieces of drama, and he was a great pitcher, but there was that and the injuries that kept coming back up.
Absolutely. I mean, listen, you hit the nail on the head perfectly just saying every single stepping stone that he took, it always had his name on the stone. It wasn't like a team building process. It wasn't a maturity process. It was always, you know, Matt Harvey, what I see, what I envision, what I want. And as a Mets fan, listen, I'm going to get into the second thing right now. We're notoriously known for messing up anything remotely good, right? So you had made a pretty good point. Earlier. You were asking some questions about pieces we could trade, and I hope they were all rhetorical questions, because here's the question I'm going to ask you. After seeing what Brody does, okay, and now $90 million in the hole that the Wilpons are, do you want Brody to trade Conforto? Do you want Brody to actually trade another piece that we could potentially get something for? Because what's going to happen is Brody is going to trade him for a bag of coal, right, named Diaz, another Diaz, and I'm going to call your show up on my way to a brain aneurysm asking you why you put that into the atmosphere of even letting Brody want to trade a piece like Conforto. Listen, Chris, you and I know, once again, everybody sees the writing on the wall. Jennifer Lopez can trade Conforto for more riches than Brody can. So I'm praying to anything in the universe, anything, that we trade Brody and the Wilpons and give some money with it so we can actually get something back. For any player that means anything, we'll need a chance to trade Reyes on his contract negotiations. We didn't and got nothing back. David Wright, David Wright, we were blessed to have him. He was great. Unfortunately, his career did not end.
All right, but so here, I'm losing your point, though, a little bit, John. Bring me back here. Do you want them to trade Conforto now to try to load up, or do you want them to, do you not trust him to trade Conforto right now?
No, I don't trust him to trade anything. He's shown us he can't. So if the best deal, the best thing we've gotten back has been J.D. Davis, and I think both you and I can agree that if that's the best piece that you've gotten back in all of your dealings, right? You could have gotten Ottavino for much less than we got some of these other players for. We got Jed Lowrie. He didn't play a game for the Mets. LeMahieu, we could have gotten LeMahieu, and we got Jed Lowrie. Jed Lowrie is not even a Met anymore. He can't play. He's done for the season, never played a game. So my point is, if J.D. Davis is where you're hanging your hat, as a Mets fan, I want Brody as far away from the clubhouse, as far away from those phones as we can get him.
So, you know what? Listen, you bring up some salient points, John. Thanks for the call. That's a good, solid call. Good, solid call. But what I would say is this. While you are right that what he has brought here has not been good, you also have to look at the idea that you have a premier piece. And when you're talking about a guy like Conforto, you're going to be talking about everybody's best prospects. It's not asking Brody to go down and dig deep and beat the bushes and find the great guy down there. No, it's going to be at the guy. It's going to be the guys who are at the top of every prospect list. And that's when it's up to the people that you trust, the Omar Minayas, who we all know has a great eye for talent, people like that, to tell you where you should be turning. Now, look, that whole deal with Cano was obviously a mess. It was obviously a mess. Jared Kelnick hasn't turned into a great major league player yet, but we all anticipate that happening at some point. The players traded away for the players traded away to go get Stroman, Anthony Kay, you know, already a major league pitcher. These are all guys that I understand what your skepticism would be with Brody. I get that. But if you have the potential to get the cream of the crop from anybody, nobody's going to hold that against you. And if I were a potential owner of this team, I'd be more impressed that you had the long-term interests of my organization at the forefront of your mind than just trying to save your ass, which is what you'd be doing.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Hit the music!
Sometimes you wanna go where everybody knows your name.
They're calling again.
Is your brain rotting with useless TV knowledge? Do you want to put your quarantine brain to goodish use? It's time to play Beat the Fat Man.
All right, Joe Pollock, explain the rules.
All right, CJ, how familiar are you with this game?
No, I'm pretty familiar.
Let me run it down for you anyways, all right? I'm going to give you three questions, one each from the 80s, 90s, and 2000s television, all right? You're going to get 10 seconds to answer. Whoever answers the most questions correctly is going to be our winner, all right? If the score is tied after three rounds, we're going to overtime. The first one of you guys to win a round will be our winner. Now, our contestant's going to get the question first, so CJ, you're going to get our question first. And during that time, right, Chris is going to isolation. I'm turning his mic, his headphones off, nothing. He ain't going to hear anything. So when he gets the question, it'll be fresh, and that's how we're going to attack this whole thing. You ready to go?
Ready to go.
Chris, you ready to go?
darn ready.
All right, let's send you to isolation. All right, CJ, you ready?
You ready?
All right, on the TV show The Dukes of Hazzard, who are the three Duke cousins?
I know Bo and Luke. I can't remember the third one.
Oof. Sorry, buddy.
Daisy.
Oh, man. You know what? The thing is, that's right. So
I know it is. Yep.
Wait, did you just look that up?
No. I just couldn't remember. I was trying to think of the shorts.
All right. Well, we're giving it to you because you got it there.
There you go.
All right. Hi, Chris.
Hi.
All right. On the TV show The Dukes of Hazzard, who are the three Duke cousins?
Bo, Luke, and Daisy.
That's three correct. And also all three for right for CJ.
Ah, yeah. Okay.
All right, so we got something.
We have a challenger.
We do indeed. Let's move it on to the second round.
Don't give me too much credit. I struggle with Daisy.
He did say he didn't struggle with Daisy? I know, right? If you're going to get any of them, Daisy's the one you're going to get.
My formative years. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, back to the booth, Chris. All right, CJ, here we go. From the 90s. In the TV show Family Matters, where did the Winslows live?
Chicago.
That is correct.
Rocking and rolling, my man. Two for two. Let's bring Chris back in. Let's see if he can get it.
Wow, that was quick.
It was quick. In the TV show Family Matters, where did the Winslows live?
Chicago.
Just as quick for CJ. So,
wow.
Yeah. 2-2.
Wow, we got ourselves a match.
That's, I mean, you always want to prove yourself against a worthy opponent, right?
That's right.
Okay.
All right, let's go to round three.
You are bringing it. You are coming in hot.
All right, round three. Back to the booth, Chris. All right, CJ, here's your third round question. What is the name of Ron Swanson's saxophone-playing alter ego in the TV show Parks and Rec?
I never watched Parks and Rec.
You gonna gather a guess?
No, I got nothing.
Then you get the buzzer. Let's bring Chris in and see if he can shut it down. Hey, Chris.
Wow, quick again.
Quick again. On the TV show Parks and Recreation, what is the name of Ron Swanson's saxophone-playing alter ego?
That's Duke Silver.
That is correct.
And CJ did not get that right. So, Chris, you beat the fat man.
Woo! Ah, that felt good.
That
CJ,
was a good
well done,
round.
Chris. Well
that
done.
Was a
well
hell
done.
Of an effort on your part. But,
appreciate it.
Still a loser. Sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry.
Appreciate the opportunity. It was fun.
You got it, Fredo.
I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
Mm-hmm. Bye, CJ.
That's the way you bring it back. That's the way you get back in action.
That's the way you debate. Oh, I can't lie. That felt good. That felt good.
Right? A 3-for-3 worthy opponent win. I like it.
Christian and John, who's next?
I think we're going to have to go with Christian, as John's already played.
John, let's get John on the phone for a second.
Yeah, go ahead.
John, you
What's
understand.
Up, guys?
We want to give somebody who hasn't had an opportunity yet, but that doesn't mean that your chance isn't going to come again.
No worries.
All right. I like that. You're a good sport. Appreciate that very much. That means Christian in the Bronx is next. Hello, Christian.
What's going on, Chris? Ready.
Well, you're going to get your chance, but looks like you might be running into a buzzsaw tonight, son.
I saw that. I just heard that. But you know what? To be fair, if I had to lose, I hope I get a drop just like that. I pray that I get a really good drop with Fredo. That was magnificent. Whoever thought of that? Classic. Love it.
That is one of the all-time greats. It really is.
That was
You know, Joel, normally I would give myself an opportunity to regroup here.
You just want to go, don't you?
Damn.
I can't lie. I'm a little pumped up right now, and I want to catch myself, but I think we just got to go. I think we just got to ride this. I think we just got to go. So let's do it.
All right. Hey, he says let's go, and go we shall. Right to the booth you go. Oh. All right, Christian, you ready to go?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll start with an 80s question. On the TV show MacGyver, who played MacGyver?
Crap. I keep thinking about the Simpsons characters, Patty and Selma. They keep saying it. Oh, my God.
What's gotta give me something.
Richard.
Oh, what? Say it. Nope. Sorry, buddy. If you had it, you had it. I was going to give it to you, but you didn't. I'm sorry, buddy. Let's bring Chris in. Hey, buddy. Oh, Christian. All right. For the 80s, on the TV show MacGyver, who played MacGyver?
Richard. Richard.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Come on.
Nope.
You got about as far as Christian did. You both got Richard, and you missed Dean Anderson.
Damn it!
Dean Anderson, damn it!
Richard,
how did I not
Dean
get Richard Dean Anderson?
Anderson? Really, man?
Well, you both got it wrong.
Now I'm just pissed. Oh. Now I'm pissed.
All right, let's bring the fire, both of you guys. All right, back to the booth, Chris.
Wow. Whew. Thank God.
All right, Christian, you lucked out a little bit there. He was on the same page as you were.
No doubt about it. No
All right, let's move to the 90s. On the TV show Full House, Danny and Becky are co-hosts of what TV show?
Wake Up, San Francisco.
That is correct.
Oh, yeah, Christian. Good job. Yep. Let's bring Chris in and see if he can match. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
On the TV show Full House, Danny and Becky are co-hosts of what TV show?
Good Morning, San Francisco.
What? Ooh, it's actually Wake Up, San Francisco.
Oh.
Yeah. And our buddy Christian, he got it right.
Wow.
Woohoo! Going into round three, down
one. Wow. Wow.
That's right.
Okay.
All right. To the booth you go. Let's see if Christian can lock it up. All right, Christian, you ready?
Yes, sir.
On the TV show Scrubs, what is the name of the hospital where the show takes place?
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Oh, I can tell you know this.
Oh, my God. It's just... I...
Come on.
North Shore Hospital.
That's one locally, sorry. But no, that's not right. Hey, Chris.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm.
On the TV show Scrubs, what is the name of the hospital where the show takes place?
Oh, crap.
Oh, Christian.
I watched it intermittently. I did not watch it consistently. You know... Just as a joke, you know, I'll say General Hospital, but I have no idea.
The answer is Sacred Heart. The answer is Sacred Heart. And Christian, you didn't get it right either, but he got one, so he's our winner.
I went from the highs of highs to the low of lows.
You know, you tried to push it a little bit. I think you should have taken the break that was built in for you.
You're right. Like, I physically felt... exhausted after game one. The emotion, the adrenaline had kicked in, and not that that would have gotten me any of the... Maybe I come up with Richard Dean Anderson. Maybe that happens if I take that break. And
fresh
maybe
mind.
We're in overtime right now.
Maybe.
But, Christian, congratulations. You have done the... I guess I'd call it improbable. You have beaten the Fat Man.
I'll take... Thanks.
Congratulations. You should be very, very, very excited with that. You know,
we'll play again. Don't worry about it.
And you get a ESPN New York prize pack. And
great.
You know, you get my broken spirit. Tell me the emotions. Take me through it as we do a little post-game interview here. When did you know you had me?
When you didn't know Full House. I mean, if you did not have a girlfriend that forced you to watch that, I don't know
what
other way to tell you.
I just said a half hour ago about how I had a massive crush on Aunt Becky, and now she's going to jail.
You know, that's why I threw that question in. That wasn't originally in our question sheet.
That's
I should have known Wake Up San Francisco. I should have known it. I probably answered that one too fast.
And also the reboot that came out in Netflix.
I never once watched again. That crap. So, come on.
You know what? It wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad, to be quite honest with you. I thought it'd be atrocious, but you know what? The symmetry, how it went along, it made sense. So, you know, it wasn't that bad. It's still very fluffy, but it wasn't that bad at all.
Yeah, maybe now I got my weekend plans changed. Thanks. Christian, no congratulations. You're a winner.
Great.
You could give me a little more excitement about it than just...
Right, we just got a grade. Oh,
yeah, I mean, I just changed your life. That's what just happened right here.
You know, I think he feels like he changed your life.
No, he didn't. Christian, thanks. He's gone.
He's talking to the great Kyrie.
My spirit is a little bit broken at the moment. After starting so high and then ending so low, that is just so disappointing. But we live and we learn. 29-12, the record now. 29-12.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.